Last week, Boston became that rare American city to elect a union man to the mayor's office, the now mayor-elect State Representative Marty Walsh. Walsh's labor ties, he was a union executive and a longtime union member, were a big issue in the campaign as he faced questions about whether he could be truly independent of the city's unions. That question lingers. So, with the full implications of Walsh's election for the city and the labor movement just starting to come into focus, WBUR's David Scharfenberg this morning takes a look.
Richie Rogers sits in a modest meeting room at the downtown headquarters of the Greater Boston Labor Council, an umbrella group for 161 unions. On a whiteboard behind him, a list of agenda items from a recent meeting. One reads simply, "Mayor," with a big exclamation point. It's just 2 days since Marty Walsh, a longtime labor leader, won election as Boston's first new mayor in a generation, and Rogers is riding high.
People don't understand this, that yesterday tens of thousands of workers went to work in the city of Boston, walking tall with their head high, all over the city, in hotels, hospitals, on construction sites. The extraordinary fervor for Martin, I've never seen anything like it, to be honest with you, in my 30 years of the labor movement.
The Labor Council deployed thousands of volunteers to knock on doors and make phone calls on Walsh's behalf. But it wasn't just local union interests involved in this race. American Working Families, a political action committee registered in Virginia and at least partially funded by unions, spent almost $1.1 million on TV ads. And Working America, a project of the national AFL-CIO, spent $660,000 on a mail and canvassing campaign run out of a Holiday Inn in South Boston. Karen Nussbaum, the group's executive director, says the Boston election brought together Walsh's personal charisma and a city with a long labor history.
Well, that's a powerful combination. It is by no means unique, and I think we'll be seeing more Marty Walsh's all around the country.
Walsh's victory comes as labor is in crisis. Just 11.3% of American workers are unionized, the lowest rate in nearly a century. That's got labor leaders scrambling for new approaches. One strategy, shifting their focus away from a gridlocked Washington and toward local candidates and local issues. The movement is also trying to forge more alliances with Black and Latino activists and white progressives, like it did in the Boston mayor's race.
You're seeing at the city level in particular efforts to mobilize coalitions, broad-based coalitions, as you saw here in Boston.
That's Tom Cochen, a professor at MIT's Sloan School of Management.
So that's where the energy is going, and I think it's a sensible strategy.
Still, whatever its residual clout in urban America, the labor movement has elected very few of its own to big city mayoralties. The one exception, Antonio Villaraigosa, a former union organizer who served as mayor of Los Angeles from 2005 until this past summer. His tenure offers something of a cautionary tale for union leaders. Faced with the Great Recession, Villaraigosa says he had to break with the unions, slashing city jobs and trimming pensions.
There were times where I just had to say that I'm supportive when their interests coincide with the public and the common interest, and when they don't, I had to make the tough calls, and we did.
Rafe Sonenshein, executive director of the Pat Brown Institute for Public Affairs at Cal State Los Angeles, says relations got particularly testy with the teachers' union, Villaraigosa's former employer.
It's pretty hard to be mayor of the city and not get involved in the schools. At this point, the expectation is pretty high that the mayor will do something about the schools.
That expectation will be particularly high in Boston, where education was the top issue in the mayor's race. But Walsh is promising to work with the Boston Teachers Union to trade on his trust with organized labor to get things done. Richard Stutman, president of the union, says he can negotiate with Walsh on thorny issues like extending the school day.
I would bet you whatever you want to bet that there is more likelihood of getting an extended day under a collegial, cooperative mayor than there is under a hard-nosed, my way or the highway type of a guy.
That, supporters say, is the promise of the Walsh administration. Cast as an incrementalist in the mayor's race, less disruptive, less visionary than his opponent, he has a chance to do something creative with union contracts. Walsh will have some early opportunities. Departing Mayor Tom Menino is locked in a contract dispute with the Boston Police Patrolmen's Union that could bleed into Walsh's tenure and hit the city with millions in unexpected costs. And he'll face a tough and closely scrutinized negotiation with the firefighters, who campaigned for him in the mayor's race.
Well, I think that'll be, you know, the big test.
That's Sam Tyler, president of the business-backed Boston Municipal Research Bureau, a fiscal watchdog. Tyler, who serves on Walsh's transition team, says escalating contracts for police and fire are making it harder for the mayor of Boston to invest elsewhere, to put his vision in place in the parks or libraries.
I think what we'll see is that there, over time, this is not something that necessarily happened all at once, but over time we'll see fewer employees in other departments.
Union leaders insist they understand the management pressures Walsh will face. They say they're just looking forward to a chief executive who truly understands and respects the labor movement. Harris Grumman with the Massachusetts wing of the Service Employees International Union says organized labor can build the middle class in Marty Walsh's Boston, just as it did in the America of the 1950s and 60s. And the union movement, he says, must articulate that promise in the heat of political campaigns.
We have a proud history, and what we need to do is communicate why it is a proud history and why it's a positive thing. And if we fail to do that, well, then, you know, we deserve to lose.
If the Boston mayor's race was a referendum on the labor movement, then the labor movement won. It was close, but for union leaders, that narrow victory is a big one. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Scharfenberg.